Thank you all for that. It is good to be back here with you. It's always a joy to gather with the saints of God wherever they're gathered, and I appreciate the invitation to be with you here today from the elders. And really what I want to do today is encourage the saints here as you're gathered to continue to live out the gospel missionally in your community, through this church, to your neighbors, wherever you're at. The title that I've chosen for today, as you can see, yes, it's on the screen, is Are You Trusting the Lord to Provide? Are you trusting the Lord to provide? I noticed that I didn't ask you, do you trust that God can provide? Or have you trusted the Lord to provide? But are you now trusting the Lord to provide? Earlier this week, as it was mentioned and referenced already, we experienced something rare, a solar eclipse. And I have a photo that I brought of this solar eclipse. And we can put it on the screen. That photo is not from here in Chicago, for those of us who experienced it here. This is a photo in Indianapolis where my son experienced a photo eclipse, and he was in the realm of totality, the path of totality. And this amazing physical phenomenon that we experienced was certainly interesting to be a part of, but also it was a reminder to me of a God who has order to creation. So much order that we can go back in history, and even if we don't look at historical records, we can tell when each solar eclipse has happened, going back as far as we want to. So much so, there is order in our creation, and God has control and is placed in an order that I can tell you that on May 30th, 2033, that'll be the next time a solar eclipse will pass over the U.S. through the state of Alaska. And I can also tell you that August 23rd of 2044 is the next time a solar eclipse will pass over the continental U.S. And so that speaks to this order that we have, and it speaks to a God who is sovereign over all of creation. The passage that I've chosen today, and we can place it on the screen, is from Joshua chapter 5. I considered pulling out an old sermon that I had spoken on before and had several in mind, and then God was just speaking to me through my devotions as I was going through the book of Joshua. And so I decided to speak to you from there today about the Lord providing. In Joshua chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, it says this. As soon as all of the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the king of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they had crossed over, their hearts melted, and there were no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel. I'm not even going to try. And this is the reason why Joshua, some people attempt, but I'm not that guy. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them, all the males of the people who came out of Egypt, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on their way as God had brought them to come out of Egypt. Though all of the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all of the people who were born on the way in the wilderness after they had come out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war, had come out of Egypt perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. And the Lord swore to them that he would not let them see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. And so it was that their children, whom he had raised up in their place, that Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised along the way. When the circumcising of the whole nation was finished, they remained in their place in the camp until they were healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach from Egypt from you. And so the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. And then the next few verses is where we're going to focus our attention today. It says, while the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Pray with me for a moment as we look into this. God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, for giving us strength, for bringing us here. And God, we just pray that today, that the name of Jesus would be magnified. God, that the saints would be energized, and that the enemy would be horrified, Father God. God, speak to us today, right where we're at, to each person. In Jesus' name, amen. A little background on this story, because I was reading through Joshua, and I had been reading prior to that, what comes before that, but I don't want to assume that everyone has. So going back to the book of Exodus, at the beginning of Exodus, and many of you will know the story, but some of you may not. At the beginning of the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 1, the children of Israel were living in Egypt. They had come there through Joseph and the story that brings them there. Ultimately, they had come there through some family dissension that led them there into Egypt. But living in Egypt, it tells us in Exodus chapter 1 that they were growing exceedingly great. And as they were growing exceedingly great, the Pharaoh who was in the land became concerned. And so he decided to enslave them. And that led to, as Exodus chapter 12, it tells us that they were in bondage in Egypt for 430 years. Generations were in bondage. And being in bondage there in Egypt was certainly something that was very oppressive to them, and it held them down. But God was still had his eyes on the people of Israel, and God planned to provide. Well, for those who know the story, God does provide through a man named Moses, and God uses Moses to lead them out of bondage and ultimately for Pharaoh to let them go. God leads the nation of Israel out of bondage and into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, God is providing for them all along the way. As they're fleeing Egypt, the Egyptians decide they're going to follow them, and God opens the Red Sea and allows them to get through. As they're wandering through the wilderness, God provides a cloud to guide them during the day. God provides a pillar of fire to provide for them during the night to know where they're going. As they become thirsty in the wilderness, God provides water for them on several occasions. As they're in the wilderness and when they run out of food and they don't have anything to eat, God provides what they call manna. It's a bread-like substance that each day they're able to go out and pick it up off the ground and eat it. And so this manna is being provided, which we'll get to in Joshua as that's referenced there. So every day, as a little extra treat, God provides quail so they can have some protein, some meat on occasion. So God is consistently providing. The pattern that we see with the nation of Israel as they're wandering through the wilderness and as God has brought them out of Egypt is that God provides. And then the other pattern that we consistently see is that the people of God forget and begin to complain. And then God provides for them again. And then the people of God, after experiencing his provision, forget, they begin to complain. And complain so much so that they say, take us back to Egypt, God. Take us back to bondage. As if that is better than God's provision for them. And when I've read and considered the nation of Israel and the season of the nation, part of my initial reaction to that is, these stupid people, what is wrong with them? Until I realized that I'm much like these people. God is providing. And then I forget and begin to complain. Well, we get into the book of Joshua, and in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is bringing the nation into the promised land. Moses died in the wilderness. And Joshua is the leader of the nation. And as he comes into the promised land, it tells us in chapter 1 that Joshua is told, and then he tells the people that every place that your foot steps will be yours. God is providing a land and a country for you. And every place that they step. And then the command that he gives them over and over again in that first chapter of Joshua, and he continues to give them this command throughout the book of Joshua, is only be strong and be courageous. In chapter 2, we see that as they are preparing to enter the land, that they send out spies ahead, and they spy out a city that they're going to conquer so that they can enter the land, and they meet a woman named Rahab who protects the spies. God provides provision for her, even though she's not a part of the nation, but because of her favor to the nation of Israel and to these spies, God provides a way for her and her family to be saved, even as that city is destroyed. In Joshua chapter 3, we see as they get ready to cross the Jordan River into the promised land, the priests are told that you're going to go and you're going to step into the Jordan River. And as you step into the river will stop and it will open up. You'll walk across, just like you did the Red Sea, you'll walk across in dry land. So God provides in chapter 3, as they step into the river opens. God provides a way through. And then in Joshua chapter 4, they were told as they go through the river for someone from each of the tribes of Israel to pick up a stone in the river. When they get to the other side, they were told to place them and create a memorial, an Ebenezer, something that would remind them. And they're told that when your children see this memorial in future generations, that you'll tell them this is where the Lord provided. This is how God provides. And that's what brings us to chapter 5. So in chapter 5, as they're preparing to enter the land, they've stepped into the land and they seek circumcision. I know we read through that portion, but partially just to see where we're at in the story, they seek this circumcision as preparation for what God has promised them. Then after they do that, the couple of verses that I want us to focus our attention to zone in on today is in verses 11 and 12. It said this, it said that the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land. The very day that they entered, God provided from the land for them. And then it says this in verse 12, and the manna ceased the day after they ate the produce of the land. So all along the way on this journey for time in bondage and then 40 years in the wilderness, God is providing for them all along the way. And he's providing for them in miraculous ways where every morning when they wake up, there's food available for them that God will provide from heaven, this manna. Then the day that they arrive in the promised land, they're eating of the produce of the land, and the manna is no longer necessary. So here's what God was teaching me, and I'd like to share with you where it might apply for those in the room as well. God was teaching me three things in this. That God's provision is on time. God's provision is on time. That God's provision is specific. Specific for those who need it and what they need. And that God's provision is enough. That God's provision is enough. Let's take a moment to look into these. And as we do, let's consider the question that's on the screen. Are you trusting the Lord to provide for you? The first one. God's provision is on time. I share a passage and a story that relate to this. The passage that I share is from 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings chapter 19, you have Elijah who has just finished in his great victory over the prophets of Baal. Many of you know the story. I'm not going to go into the story today, but he has had come out of a great victory, and out of this great victory, his opposition, Ahab and Jezebel, were not happy. And they were not happy, and so they said that we're going to come get you and we're going to kill you because we're not happy what you've done, and you've embarrassed us, you've made us look bad. And so in chapter 19, we find Elijah fleeing, and he runs away from them, and he runs into the wilderness. And it says in chapter 19 that he sat down under a broom tree and he asked that he might die. Elijah had just had this great experience of God's power, and now he was afraid and he was exhausted. And some of us have experienced this in our own lives where we've seen God work and now we're worn out and we're at our end again. And it says that he asked that he might die. He said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm no better than my father's." And he laid down and he slept under the broom tree. Some of you right now might be in a season in life where you've experienced the goodness of God, but you're just tired and you're worn out. And although you trust God, you're tired of trusting God. And you just wish it could all end. And when this happens, God shows up and he provides. It says, "Behold, an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' And he looked, and behold, there at his head was a cake baked on a hot stone and a jar of water." So here God is providing food and drink for Elijah just like he had for the nation of Israel. And the angel of the Lord came to him again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and he ate and drank and went in his strength for 40 days and 40 nights. God is providing. And for Elijah, he provides very specific to what he needs in this moment to sustain him and to inspire him forward going on. When I think of examples in my life where God has provided specific for me, there are many. And for sake of time and to keep it brief, there was a period in my life when I was in college and I had run out of money and I had run out of loans and I had run out of ways to pay for college. I don't know why they make college so expensive. I don't get it. But there was no way to continue in school. In fact, the vice president of finance at the time had called me into his office and said, "There's a problem. There's a financial issue. We need to resolve it. And if you can't resolve it, then you're gonna have to step away from school for a time until you have enough money." And there was a bill coming up. He had given me a deadline for that week. And honestly, I had no solutions. I had a little job that paid a little money and was nowhere going to meet the need that was necessary to stay in school. Well, I got a phone call from my mother that week. My mother told me that a person who I had never, to this time, I had never met in my life. My mother had met this person one time in her life. A person had contacted her and wanted to help me pay for school. And my mother told me that she was going to initially give me $10,000, which would allow me to, and I said, "Well, that's great. It better come quick, because if it doesn't come quick, I'm already out of school." So it was provided that week. That was my junior year of college, and that got me through my junior year. And then that same person the next year provided another $10,000, which allowed me to finish without even having to take loans. So I had more debt from the beginning of school when I thought I had provision than when I thought I was out. God provided specifically for me. He can do it for you too. Some of you are thinking right now of times where God has provided specifically for you. God provides specifically specifically for you. God provides on time. God provides when we need it. Genesis chapter 22 talks about this. In Genesis chapter 22, and I'm not going to read the story, many of you know the story. This is a story where Abraham and Isaac are going up on the mountain, and God has asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. They get up there and they arrive, and Isaac is on the altar, and God stops Abraham in that moment, says he just wanted to make sure that he was willing to follow him. And then they look, and in the bush, there's a ram, specifically and on time, what they needed in that season. I have also another story of how God has provided very specifically and on time for me. As the bio mentioned, I used to lead an organization called Pursue Scholars, which I'm still a part of to this day. But one of the biggest challenges for me in running that organization was the finances. We ran fundraising events, we sought grants and things of that nature. And sometimes things were really difficult. Sometimes things were really tight. And I remember on two specific occasions, one being a season towards the end of the year. We were raising funds towards the end of the year, but we had a bill that was due that week. And that bill that was due that week, there was that day that I was praying not enough money in the bank for that bill. And that bill was for $533. I still remember it to this day. And I thought I had contacted everyone I could contact. I thought I could do everything that I could do. And so I decided I'm going to step out of the office, and I'm just going to go for a walk, and I'm just going to pray. And I went out and began to go for a walk and was praying. And while I was on that walk, I got a notification on my phone. And a donation had come through to Pursue Scholars for $533. $533. Now, we get lots of donations over time. Most of them are like $20, $25, $50, $100, $1,000, $5,000. Rarely are they a number like 533. And the particular source of this donation, I had no idea who they were. God provided specifically. God provided on time. One other story, because I experienced this over and over again through working with this organization. The other time was a season just a few years ago, 2019, and things were particularly challenging. We had grown, and so as you grow, the growing need for funds to provide for the needs and the scholarships. And we had a board meeting, and we were discussing this, and we had four staff at the time. We were going to have to lay one of our staff off. So we were talking about that at the board meeting. We had scholarships that we were supposed to pay out in December for the second semester. And at that point, we didn't have enough money to pay all of those scholarships. And so as a board, we were discussing this and how were we going to work together to provide for what was needed to continue to sustain the organization. And even the conversation was even floated of, is this sustainable going forward? At the end of the meeting, one of our board members said, I think that we need to end in prayer, but not end in prayer like we usually would for these meetings. I think we all need to go around and pray. So each board member prayed, and the meeting ended, and everybody left. And after the meeting was over, I did what you shouldn't do at 9 o'clock at night after a board meeting. I checked my email. But on this particular night, I'm glad I did. Because when I checked my email, I had a notification from a gentleman who I'd known for a long time, and he was involved in a family foundation which had significant resources. And this foundation had never contributed to our organization before this date. And the notification said that they were going to contribute $65,000 to the organization. And $65,000 for us at that time of an organization that was about $300,000 in revenue is extremely significant to the sustainability and going forward. Well, I looked at when the email came through. The timing on that email came through exactly while we were praying in that board meeting. That's when he sent the email. So it was a reminder to me that God provides on time and God provides specifically. So are we trusting the Lord? The last thing, God provides enough. God provides enough. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. And he talks to us about his provision, and he warns us not to become anxious, not to worry. In chapter 6, he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, and about your body, what you will put on. It's not life more than food. And then moving down through the passage to the end, he says this. He says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the heathens seek after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, in this passage, I don't think that God promises that you're going to have everything you want. But I think that what we hear Jesus telling us is that if we are seeking his kingdom and if we're seeking his righteousness, you're not going to have to worry about food. You're not going to have to worry about clothing and shelter. He will provide these things for you. Rather than share an example of this in my life, I would just ask you to consider your own life. Has God provided for you? I think the examples exist for you. Have you had enough? Have you been able to keep going? Some of you right now might be in a wilderness season of life. You might be in a season where you feel like you just are hoping for enough for God to sustain you. Some of you may be in a promised land season where you're experiencing the abundance of God's provision. Wherever God brings you here today, I just want to encourage you. I want to remind you that the Lord will provide. That he'll provide on time, that he'll provide specific to you, and that he'll provide enough. As we wrap this up, I think of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, where the end of the book, Paul writing to the Philippians, he reminds them of this, and he says that my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And this is not only physical needs. This is not only material things. This is not only emotional needs, spiritual needs. That he provides enough. God just doesn't provide food and shelter for you. He's provided Jesus. He's provided Jesus. In John chapter 1, as John the Baptist is pointing to Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As Jesus is living and teaching, he says that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus also tells the people that I am the way, the truth, and the life. That no man comes to the Father but through me. God has, and he will, continue to provide for your physical, your material needs. But God has provided so much more. He's provided your greatest need. I want to encourage you today that there is a Lamb who was slain. I want to remind you today that there is a Redeemer. That there is a substitute, someone who's going between on your behalf. I want to remind you that your debt of sin has been paid. I want to remind you that God has provided for you and for me and for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. So are you trusting in the Lord today to provide not only for your physical need, or for your eternal needs? As I end today, before I close this in prayer, some of you may be sitting here and I may be talking to you and you're considering this question of are you trusting the Lord to provide, and you have real financial trouble right now, and I've been there. And even though you're wanting to trust and trying to trust, you're begging for God's provision. Some of you may be struggling with a health need right now. You're asking for God to provide. Some of you may be anxious or afraid. You're seeking courage right now. Some of you may be lonely, seeking friendship, companionship. And someone in the room might be struggling spiritually, just waiting for God to speak and to show up for them. I want to remind you today that God provides. He is a provider. That He shows up. And for those of you who are sitting here today, and as I'm sharing this message, as the question sits there, you're living in the provision of the Lord, and you're confident in that, and you're living out of that confidence right now, then I would encourage you, set up memorial stones so others can be reminded of it. Be a memorial stone to others. So that when people ask you, how are you so confident in the Lord's provision? Then you tell them, this is what the Lord has done. This is what I've seen. Let me tell you about a story in my life. How God's provided, specifically. How He was on time. And how God has always been enough. Trust Him today. Pray with me as we close. Father God, I thank You, God, for intercepting me in this season of life and reminding me that You are a provider, God. God, I thank You for the record from Your word of how You've provided for us, Father God. I thank You for the stories and examples of our own story, Father God, of where we've seen You provide. God, thank You for being our manna when we needed something to eat, Father God. God, thank You for being our cloud and guiding us when we needed guidance, God. God, help us to remember. Help us to not forget. And God, for those who are struggling today, God, those who are questioning whether You provide, Father God, God, I pray that You would encourage them and that You would remind them to hold on, that You are a Lord who provides. In Jesus' name, amen.